I would like to invite you to turn again to the book of Mark. I wasn't aware that you have been studying the book of Mark in the Bible study. At least I deducted that from the announcements this morning. But I too, over the last number of weeks and months, have been really appreciating the Gospel of Mark. In fact, I intend to give some teaching in Managua this fall on the Gospel of Mark, and just want to share a few simple things with you this morning as we relate something of what the Lord Jesus is doing through the Gospel in the country of Nicaragua. So Mark chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 38. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. It just is striking to me that the Lord Jesus, he had a clearly defined mission. A clearly defined mission. Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, please, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, a clearly defined statement of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Chapter 3, please. And verse number 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Again, a very clearly defined mission. A vision that the Lord Jesus had, that they should be with him, and he might send them forth to preach. Just glance over at chapter 6 for the connection. Chapter 6 and verse number 12. Speaking of the disciples now, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Just exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ had intended in chapter 3, he would send them forth to preach. And in chapter 6, we see them as they're involved in the preaching. Men should repent. Turning from sin. A changing of your mind, affecting the attitude, the will, the emotion, the intellect. To turn from sin and turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ. So I have been enjoying, we could detail more things in the Gospel of Mark about preaching. We know that he also was involved in teaching. But I just, opening this morning, I would like to leave something that I personally find fascinating. As Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's writing this letter, this Gospel, the good news of Jesus, and he's writing primarily to a Roman audience. The 7 or 8 different specific healing events recorded in this Gospel, I find intriguing. In chapter 1, he deals with the fever of Peter's mother-in-law. And he also heals a leprous man. And as we just step back a little bit, we can see that he stopped that infection in that woman that was causing that fever. He dealt with the internal issue in her. And as the leprous man came, the Lord Jesus simply said, I will. And he touched him something so external as that disease that was on the skin, the leprosy. And I learned just quite simply that the Lord Jesus, he can heal the inside and the outside of a human being. And then in chapter 2, we see that there's a man, he can't walk. He's crippled. Affects perhaps his legs. So something has happened in his spine. And that man is crippled. He's paralyzed. He can't. Well, that's chapter 2. And the Lord Jesus heals him. Chapter 3, the issue is with a withered hand. And I'm learning that the Lord Jesus, He not only can heal the inside and the outside, but He can heal a person's walk and what they do with their hand. And as we continue reading through the Gospel of Mark, all of a sudden we come to see that there's a lady, she's had an issue of blood for 12 years. I'm not sure if that perhaps started with a miscarriage or whatever the case, she was, for 12 years, that dear lady was unfruitful. She was not able to conceive. She wasn't able to have a child. And that was ongoing for 12 years. And if you just notice in chapter 5, the context of that chapter is the story of a lovely couple, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus and his wife. And 12 years ago, they had a little daughter. And as we look at the Scripture, perhaps 12 years prior to this day when Jesus touched the life of both of these individuals, their families, their circumstances, I can see this lady entering into the medical center in Capernaum, and she's crying. She's not able to conceive. Perhaps the same day, this well-known, well-respected couple was entering in to welcome the birth of their firstborn. Their only child, a little girl. And for years, as one family celebrated birthdays, this dear lady became poorer and poorer and more poor with her sickness, affecting her spiritually, not able to enter into the temple. She was defiled, affecting her mood, affecting her emotion, affecting her future. And the Lord Jesus, the power in Him, He was able to heal the womb of that lady. And she was transformed from a person who was unable to bring forth children to a person who was potentially able to be fruitful. You see, the Lord Jesus, He wants to work in individuals, whether it's in Winnipeg or in Managua, Nicaragua, city of 1.3 million people. Human beings are broken by sin. Internally, externally, it affects our walk. It affects what we do with our hand. It makes us unfruitful in our lives. And the Lord Jesus, as we see detailed, very specifically selectioned by the Holy Spirit through Mark's pen, the Lord Jesus is just gently, He's working on the whole individual. Whether it's an internal infection causing a fever or an external skin disease like leprosy, the paralysis of a man, the working of his hand, the womb of a woman. And we continue through the Gospel and we can see that there's a healing. You see, there was a man, he had a problem with his ears, was deaf. See, as the Lord Jesus heals a person spiritually and even emotionally and sometimes physically, you see, the Lord Jesus makes that person fruitful. He opens their ears so that people can listen. It's very important that people listen. And after that dear man was able to listen, he was able to speak clearly, to give clear counsel. He was able to speak and communicate clearly. And what's interesting, not only did the Lord Jesus work inside and outside, legs and hands, ears and mouth, but there's the miracle of giving sight to the blind was, for some reason, it's twice mentioned in Mark's Gospel. It's twice mentioned. There was a man, he just couldn't see clearly after the Lord Jesus anointed him, touched him. He said, I see men as trees walking. You say, well, what's that? That's a perspective of human beings, a perspective of men far larger than they really are. And the Lord Jesus touched that man's vision, that man's perspective again, and he could see all men clearly. He could see men for who they were. And of course, the healing of blind Bartimaeus in chapter 10. And I'm learning that the Lord Jesus is interested in the holistic well-being of an individual, of a human being. You see, some people come to gospel meetings and they have a problem with their hand. They steal. There's other people that come and they have a definite issue with their mouth, that the cursing and bitterness that comes from their mouth and the lying tongue. There's other people that come and they have an issue with their ears. They just don't even hear the Word of God. They're not listening to what God says to them. There's others that come and they have a deadly infection raging through their body. The disease of sin. There's others who have definite problems. You see, the Lord Jesus, He touches one and He speaks to another and He heals this one. And as we read through the Gospel of Mark and we see the whole panoramic picture Mark is presenting, that God the Son, the servant of Jehovah, is interested in blessing people, making people whole. And through the power of the Gospel, people prone to stealing are made righteous. Lying, perpetual liars, speaking the truth in love. There is a transformation. People who have had crippling paralysis in their life. So it's like, can I just give you a few? Anger. Anger is a crippling sin that can affect your walk. Bitterness cripples a man, cripples a woman. Holding grudges. There are so many crippling sins. It affects our walk. And the Lord Jesus, you see, He said to that man, He said, son, your sins are forgiven. This is Mark chapter 2. Your sins are forgiven. And you could think, well, what sort of sins would a crippled man have had? I mean, he's paralyzed. He's not likely out in the party scene. He's paralyzed. The crippling sins. The Lord Jesus said, and not only are your sins forgiven, but so as a testimony that you might know, speaking to the audience, that everybody will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the crippled man, get up and walk. And could I just tell you that whether it's Managua or Winnipeg, when people who have been crippled for years, spiritually speaking, by sins that affect them, vices and gripping things on their life, when the Lord Jesus forgives their sin, the testimony is the transformation in their life, the transformation in their walk, that all might know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said, get up and walk. And the man arose and he walked. Now, I'm not sure if there's any person here today and you are identifying with some area. Perhaps no time to listen to the Word of God. Perhaps a perpetual lying mouth. Perhaps bitterness. Perhaps crippling, debilitating sins, or maybe even something that has happened in your past, that other people have sinned against you, or you have sinned against other people. I just want to tell you today, without any fear, of being mistaken, Jesus Christ, He not only can forgive your sin, but He's interested in transforming your life to mold you from the inside out into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel of Mark as you continue. And later on in the book we see teaching that the Lord Jesus gives and the prayers of the Savior. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that I have been clay lips, failing human being like me. By God's grace, my life has been transformed and we're able to communicate the gospel. Our ears have been opened, allowing us to speak the word of God in truth, in love to people. And what a joy it is when God comes in, His hand touches, His hand saves and blesses individuals. So I just want to briefly detail, I'm sure you've read some of our newsletters and we appreciate very much the assembly here, the exercise in giving and praying and supporting the work of the Lord in Nicaragua and specifically through our hands. We appreciate that. We feel very blessed. We have four children. We've said it before. Our grand finale was born in January. And we appreciate each one of the children, Matthew and Micah, Elizabeth, Nelena. We long for their salvation. It just leaves just a little thought here. For us who are parents, something that has challenged my own heart. In chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Mark's Gospel, we see a relationship between parents and their children. Parents and their children. Jairus, a well-respected ruler of the synagogue, he actually fell at the feet of Jesus. Why? My daughter. My only daughter. Chapter 7, there was a Gentile woman who identified herself as one of the dogs, one of the Gentile dogs. I'm not deserving of the crumbs. But just, Lord, help me, have mercy. My daughter, she's pleading for her daughter. Maybe she was a single mom, I'm not sure. But she is there at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In between chapter 5 and 7 is chapter 6. And we have detailed an evil lady whose daughter, I presume, was a beautiful young lady. And as she undoubtedly danced sensually before Herod, that mother whispered into her daughter's ears, murder. So we have a lot to learn from Mark's gospel when it comes even to parenting. Farther on, we can see that there was a man, and he came, and the disciples couldn't cast out the evil spirit of his son, and he was so concerned about his son that it tosses him in the fire and into the water, and he said, Lord, help me! If thou canst believe, all things are... Lord, I believe! Help thou my unbelief! And as parents, that sometimes is our... I mean, we're burdened for the salvation of our children. We would love to see our children raised and walk in the fear of the Lord. We would love to see our children serve the Lord, whether they're just little or perhaps they're in their 40s. Keep praying for the salvation of all of our children. So there's the Gospel of Mark is fascinating. You say, well, how does this have to do, what does this have to do with Nicaragua? I hope this doesn't startle you. And I'm becoming more convinced about it. The culture in the world is basically the same all over the world. Well, Canadian culture, Nicaraguan culture is very different. But At first glance, it's very different. But the evil human heart is identical all over the world. That there are different manifestations of sin from our hearts. But we human beings, we're sinners. We're the same. And whether it's Canada or Nicaragua, every man, woman, and child needs to meet the Lord Jesus, be saved of their sin, and put their faith in Christ. So as we preach the gospel, which a year and a half ago we did extensively, we had 10 series of gospel meetings in a radius of probably no more than a kilometer and a half or 2 kilometers. A circle, downtown Managua, city of 1.3 million. Hundreds of thousands of people that lived in that circle, where we were. And we put the tent up and took it down and moved maybe 6 or 8 blocks over, put the tent back up, had 10 nights of preaching and took the tent down and moved maybe another 8 blocks. And we did that in this circle. So the first series of meetings, there was maybe 15 or 20 people that came into the tent. We were getting known. The next series of meetings, some of those contacts attended and they came. Basically back-to-back series of meetings. 100 nights of gospel preaching, if you will, in different location. So by the time we had our 10th gospel series in the tent, there was regularly 70, 80 people attending most evenings. And God had saved quite a number of individuals. For that, we give God thanks. And it was evident that we needed to have a permanent building. The rainy season was coming. This was a year ago in April. And the Lord opened the door for us to rent a building that's quite accessible with public transportation on a main street, downtown Managua. We've signed the contract for a couple years, $1,000 a month. And we're thankful that it has been a great location for people to come. The Sunday afternoon gospel meeting at 4 o'clock. Really it's from 4 to 6 because some people come late, and we generally try and have a coffee before the meeting begins and welcome any visitors that are there and engage in conversation with people, have a bit of a visit. And it's an opportunity for the Christians to get to know each other and as well interact with some visiting people from the community or others that they've brought along. At 4:30 we get started and end at 5:30 or so. But what's interesting is there's 50, 60 people regularly come. And we're very thankful for that. We really don't pick anybody up, but we do because it's getting dark at 6 in the afternoon. We do help to take people home. The Lord has been pleased to continue to bless in salvation one young man named Rafael. He at the end of a Sunday night gospel meeting, he went home and he trusted Christ beside his bed in the quietness of his own home. It was several months later when we found out that Rafael, he was quite a gangster. And when we were preaching in his neighborhood, right in the middle of the meeting, there was a small skirmish, a gang fight. Some homemade guns were going off and all kinds of people were running down. And I was preaching and all of a sudden, the audience stood up and like scattered. I was there with the Bible in my hand. Okay, well, like, what do I do now? I mean, I thought it was maybe fireworks going off or something, but the meeting was right busted up that night, and we put everything away, and the people, they were gone. They disappeared. A lot of them took shelter in a house, a bakery across the street from where the tent was, and the meeting was over. Well, what was fascinating to me is a number of months after Rafael professed to be saved, And he was baptized. Just in the course of the conversation, we heard that Rafael was one of the young men involved in that street fight that hindered the meeting that night. And so it's really neat to see the grace of God work in his life. Our basis in Managua, our core group, consists of 5 couples and quite a number of university students. So Carlos and Charla, Harold and Yesenia, Fernando and Claudia, Mauricio and Jenny, and Benildo and Jeanette. As well, there's Marvin and Maria. For the last year, they have been very faithful, and they're the core group. And there's a lot of university students as well that are attending, and some single moms. So we're very thankful to the Lord for that. Charla is from the United States. She married a Nicaraguan man. They were involved in some sort of Christian ministry through a denominational church. They attend their children's study at the same Christian school that our boys study at, and it was it got to be quite a habit. Carlos would drop his children off, and I would be dropping my boys off in the morning, and he would say, "Yeah, Mark, you got a minute? Yeah, yeah, sure." He says, what do you teach about church discipline?" So I said, "Well, I said we believe this and this," and showed him the scripture, and interesting. Okay. He says, another morning, a few days later, "Mark, I'm studying through the Acts, and what do you practice as far as leadership in the local church?" I said, that's a good question. We practice something that's quite different than what would be normal, a plurality of leaders, shepherds, pastors, teachers, plurality, and we took time there and went for coffee, opened the Bible, and another morning is, "Mark, I'm concerned about the gospel that's being preached. What would you say in five, what is the gospel?" And so I was able to sit down with him. And, you know, something interesting happened. He, after three or four of those little conversations, he said, would you mind if Charla and I, could we come to where you're preaching?" I said, "Sure, you could come." So they came and they listened, and he was thrilled with the gospel, and Charla was as well, dear believers, really, in the Lord, and they were searching, and they were studying the scriptures, and over quite a number of months, 6 or 8 months, they regularly attended. There was one particular conversation we had where I said, "Look, Carlos, we're right now just basically in gospel preaching, but there is all kinds of church doctrine that you know, we're going to work through. We're going to start to teach." It took them a few weeks of study, and one particular point was the head covering, the uncovered head of the man and the covered head of the sister. And one Sunday they came, and Charla had her head covered, and they were just delighted. She was delighted to tell my wife that after studying the scripture, she's convinced that it's what God wants for them to do. So they withdrew from their denomination, and they sat back for 3 or 4 months in El Valle, traveled with us on Sundays, and they are part of the assembly in El Valle, but a big help in Managua. Harold and Yesenia as well have been baptized, and Mauricio's wife Jenny also is baptized. Mauricio was saved and baptized before we met him, and there is a good core group. I'll take 2 minutes and detail basically our target going forward, our focus. For the last year, we've been meeting specifically with a group of men on Monday evenings, going through the book of Genesis, dealing with male leadership and the temptations that there are and the failures and how a life of faith following God through Abraham or seeing the marital mess of Jacob and issues with children and preferences with children and trying to deal with all sorts of men issues to promote a greater sense of male leadership in the home and ultimately in God's assembly in the future. On Wednesday evening, we've been specifically meeting with a group of young people. There's 50 or 60 young people that are regularly attending. The majority of them would be from the public university in Managua. And they've had They've received scholarships, so they represent almost every province in the whole country of Nicaragua. And what's really interesting, just before coming to Canada in mid-May, I looked around and with another university student there, and I said, look, Kevin, I said, I think there's almost every province in the whole country represented here in this meeting. And yeah, Albert's from the coast, and Carlos is from Bonanza, and Chris is from Esteli, and he's from Rivas, and he's from Masaya. And it was just really interesting. And God has saved a number of those students, particularly young men. And Tuesday evenings from 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock, we meet with 6 or 7 of those university students who have professed to be saved. We have a time of prayer, and I answer their questions, and we study the Scripture together. Tuesday and Thursday evenings, we're in the different communities, in the different ghettos, if you will, or neighborhoods, preaching in houses. And Carlos has a house meeting, and Francisco has a house meeting, and I have a house meeting, and there we're involved that way in the spread of the gospel. Of course, the main meeting is Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6, the gospel and Sunday school time. We appreciate and value your prayers. We anticipate this fall to form the assembly, see the Lord establish another testimony there, and Lord willing, you know, we need to do quite a number of visits, but we do expect 20 or 25 believers to sit down and remember the Lord Jesus. Some are anxiously asking and waiting and wondering why we haven't started yet, but we trust that there'll be another baptism, and one particular couple need to be united in marriage, and so we value your prayers for this fall and for the work in Managua. We rejoice at what the Lord is doing and has done. Let's just close in prayer.